Morning. Are you all ready? Okay. If you're ready, hold this up then. Oh, excellent. Excellent. That's great. Okay. Yeah, good one. Whose home group went through week one that Nevin covered during the week? Whose home group went through it at home group? Oh, okay, you didn't like it then. Our home group did it. Come on, yes, we did week one. So it's a great tool, and Nevin's gone to a lot of work together with the lovely Nikki to put this together. So it's a great resource. So you can use the notes, and of course you can read ahead, which is really helpful. I thought you, Julie, pretty much said the message this morning in your prayer. And I was thankful, and I thought, well, I'll just get up and close in prayer. We are salt and light. That's pretty much it, isn't it? So thank you for that. And Vivian, thank you for those beautifully themed songs which led into the message on salt and light. So thank you. Yeah, that's really appreciated. Okay, so for me, talking from Matthew again is another first. I've never spoken from the Gospel of Matthew, so I've just been really blessed with the start which Nevin did last week. Good job last week. And great to reinforce it with the teachings of Jesus. And I think what certainly impacted our home group as we thought about the message and the Beatitudes was just the fact that it really showed that God's values are not what our society and our world values. God values the poor who realise their need of him, and those who mourn will be given comfort. And we spoke a little bit about situations where we had seen Christian folks and families who had been hit by grief and death, and God has ministered to them and given them comfort. And those who are humble and those who hunger and thirst for justice. So they're generally, in our society and the people we mix with, they're not the kind of values that they uphold generally. So when in past years, as I've grown up and got older, I've found that when people were talking about salt and light, they usually gave us a lecture first up about what does salt do? Sorry? Oh, okay, yep. Preserves. Yeah. And so I thought, oh, okay. And what does light do? It shines. It exposes darkness. So I thought, I'm not going to talk about that this morning. I'm going to mix it up, as per usual. Yeah, going to mix it up. So I'm now going to ask you, because my presumption is that because you've got these great notes, you've read ahead and you're really well prepared, and I said to the sold-out home group, you're getting a heads up at home group, I'm going to ask some questions. So here we go. Let's mix it up. This is an opportunity for you to tell me what you think salt and light means from Jesus' words here in Matthew. And I'm going to listen. I'm not going to judge or say anything. I'm just going to go, okay, that's great. Yeah. So now's your opportunity. What does salt and light mean from Jesus' perspective in Matthew 5? Excellent. Great. What else? I had, as I thought about this, I'd hoped that this would go better. It creates thirst, did you say, Fritz? Yeah. Yep. Yep. What else? Yeah, Clayton. Nice. What else? Heals. Yes. Yep.
Can irritate.
Can irritate. Yes. That's why the Lord brought me to COV.
Salt enhances flavours.
Yes.
Light obliterates dark.
Right. Nice.
Salt is abrasive.
Abrasive. Yes. Well, there was something over here.
Preserves.
Excellent. Anything else?
Yeah.
Shows our need for a saviour. Okay? Yes?
We should make a difference.
We should make a difference. Right, the absence of salt is tasteless. What was the other one here?
Flavour.
Cool. Shine.
So you put it on roads. Put salt on roads and stop smoking. So perhaps it will help us do smoking. Or help us to stop others.
It's very good. Did you hear that? Okay, Grace said that salt is often used on roading to stop vehicles from slipping. Maybe if we were salt, we would stop others from slipping or stop slipping ourselves.
As Norman said, if the world didn't have salt, we wouldn't be alive.
Okay. Yep. All right. That's good. That went better than I thought initially. Yeah. That's cool. Okay. Next question. You thought that was it, didn't you? How do you all feel COV has done in being salt and light to the community and to our city and elsewhere over the last 5 years? Oh, okay, here we go. Here's, yep, okay.
Dozens and dozens of people who walk through the door twice a week.
Okay, good.
And Rachel lets her light shine.
Yep, cool. Thanks, Lenore. Right, okay, yep, cool.
Work a house next door.
House next door, right, yep. Okay, good. What else? How have we done?
Good.
We've done good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Work, so
yeah, anything else? Yes, Erica.
I just feel churches we attended before were always focused on missions out there.
Yes.
Going up into Africa, going to other countries. I feel
CRV
is really focused on the community just around.
Right.
So, and I feel that the church has done really well.
Okay, good. Yep, cool, good. Any other comments that you want to...
I think church equips the people that are in it to go out into their jobs and their workplaces and share the gospel, person-to-person, relational evangelism.
Yep, okay, good. Anybody else? Maybe... ask the community. I've got a thought on that. Yes? Sorry?
The pastors are all good.
Oh, you mean pastoral care. Very good. Excellent. I'm totally supportive of that comment. Yeah. Roger? So we're good at doing that?
Yes.
Right. Okay. Anything else? What? Sorry. Where was this? Commitment, right? Mm-hmm. Good. Yep, good. Sorry.
I don't cook with salt.
Sorry?
I don't cook.
Oh, okay. Right. We're moving right along. Thanks, Colin. Yep. Oh, yes.
COV takes God at his word.
COV takes God at his word. At his word. Cool. Okay. Is there anybody thinks we don't do a very good job? Don't worry. I mean, it's safe. Okay. So... I'm taking it then that most people think that we don't do too bad a job. Okay, that's good. All right. How do we do as a local church? Just a little bit of factual information. A post-Christian society with nearly half of Kiwis, 48%, identifying as having no religion. Churches have a weakened influence over mainstream political and cultural issues. Society largely views the church with indifference or as a specialised social agency rather than a moral compass. That's off comment. Crisis in evangelism. Many local congregations struggle to communicate the gospel in a way that resonates with secular New Zealanders. Leaders often cite a lack of confidence in engaging with the postmodern, individualistic or highly sceptical mindsets. That's come from the New Zealand Christian Network, from Stuart Lang. Ageing demographics. Traditional denominations face ageing congregations and a steep drop-off in youth and young adult participation, which threatens their long-term viability. That was a church life survey in New Zealand. I came across some commentary by Stuart Lang, who's the National Director of the New Zealand Christian Network and is a Senior Research Fellow at Laidlaw College, where he was formerly Vice Principal. Stuart wrote and presented the historical DVD documentary Te Rongopai, 200 Years of the Gospel in New Zealand. He says, although God is ceaselessly at work and there remain countless wonderful Christian people and churches in this current country, in our current context, the New Zealand church is undoubtedly not as robust or effective as it could be. Within many churches, there appears to be some weakening of confidence in the uniqueness of Christ, the power of the gospel, and the truth and authority of the scriptures, and some waning of spiritual zeal. Among many Christians, there is also some uncertainty about biblical moral values. Across much of the church, there is a crisis with regard to evangelism. Many Christians feel unmotivated to share the faith with unbelievers. Others feel intimidated by the worldviews of many people in our post-Christian society. That irritates me, that word, post-Christian society. But anyway, and unsure how to connect with them about God and the gospel in a way that will be heard. In the face of such challenges, what should Christians and churches do? Succumb to pessimism? Lie low? Blame someone else? Give up? No, challenges to Christian faith are neither new nor surprising. The purposes of God can never ultimately be thwarted. Difficult challenges are always a call to Christian believers to be more faithful, more genuine, more grace-filled, more loving, more prayerful, more discerning, more wholehearted, more strategic, and more truly active in God's word. And he cites two verses, 1 Corinthians 15:58. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and do everything with love. So I'm not trying to preach what he's saying. I just found it was interesting that he said what he said. And that as good as we are holding the light and being salt in the community, I think what God said to me is that there is always room for improvement. And that, to be honest with you, I don't think we should look too much at these commentators, because that's just their opinion. And what we want to focus on this morning is what God's word says. And that's far more important. Okay? So, let's look at our passage. What's our passage? Somebody tell me. Excellent. Excellent. Matthew 5, 13 to 16. Here we go. Jesus teaches about salt and light. You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavour? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Verse 14, the first part, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Why is that particularly special for us? Excellent. It's part of our mission statement, part of our objectives and our goals. So that would in turn say that that is important to us, right? Exactly. So I think there's three distinctive calls for every Christian, every disciple. And this is the big idea, I think, is in this little passage in Matthew 5. Firstly, that we need to live distinctively, that we need to be set apart life in a tasteless world. Would you agree with me? Okay, that's really no. Okay, so do I have to reinforce it a bit more, do I? Do you agree that we should be living distinctively, set apart life in a tasteless world?
Yes.
Great. We're on the same page. Do you believe that we should be shining visibly with a faith that cannot be hidden?
Yes.
Okay, that's great. And do you believe that we should be glorifying God and giving all the praise back to our Heavenly Father?
Yes.
Excellent. So all I want to do is to just very simply draw some key points from the passage that we have. And these key points are pretty simple and straightforward. If you want to take notes, use your first page in the Teachings of Jesus booklet. If not, that's fine. Just tune in. So Jesus is saying we are the salt of the earth. We should be creating a thirst. And this has come out in some of the comments from all of you. Creating a thirst or interest in having a relationship with Jesus. So I guess the question is, in my life, as I live my life as a retiree, as someone involved in pastoral care, someone who loves to have fun, someone who loves to drink port, does my life reflect enough for people to have a thirst to become a Christian like me? Our lives need to be reflecting a walk with God that identifies to everyone else that we are different. Yeah? There's no question we are different, right? We are different. We are to be different to make a difference. We use the preservative aspect of salt in this illustration. We have to preserve being different to the world. It is okay to be different. We must celebrate our uniqueness as Christians so that it will attract those without a relationship with Jesus. That's adding flavor and creating thirst. And that was a commentary. Salt creates thirst. Does our walk and our example to our family, to our community, to our city, does it create a thirst for Jesus? That is a self-evaluation thing. It is essential that we have impact on the community around us. I agree. I think we do. Yes? I think we do. You know, Lenore's talked about the playgroup and the work that Rachel and her team are doing and the house next door. But that's not all of it. It's about us as well. As examples, running around all of the community and the city and everything, the people that we mix with and work with, we're all to be making an impact on the community. At times, being different will mean that we will be going against fads and trends and thinking and behaviour, legislation, ideologies, inclusivity, and the alteration of God's creative intentions. Yep. That will make us different. Man alive, we will stick out. We will. But that's good, right? That's being salt. That's what Jesus is talking about. Awesome. Focus on doing right and don't be swayed. That's what I want to ultimately encourage all of us with. Don't blindly do what the world claims to be right. Do what God's word says is right. Well, that was honestly pathetic. Do what God's word says is right. That should be our template, right? That's our template. While this may be difficult thanks to the mixed messages we're constantly assailed with these days, it's important to set ourselves apart from the world. We have to be in this world, but we don't need to participate in the things that are detrimental to our faith. And we don't. Unwavering resolve. This is important. God expects us to be salt, and He empowers us to do so. Be firm and formidable in our resolve to follow the Lord in everything that we do. Yes? Don't get distracted or waver in your beliefs and stay focused on God and his power. And that's why you get fed up with me talking about the power of the Holy Spirit in my life and in our lives together. That's what we should be trusting in, is the power of God's Spirit to guide us, to lead us, to help us manage situations we come across, but to help us be different and have the courage to stand against the things that the world is just slowly but surely pushing into place. Yes? One of the key points here is that if as salt we don't maintain and preserve the uniqueness of who a Christian is, then we've lost our effectiveness. Now, I see this differently to others. What the verse says is that, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavour? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. So, if we have lost our effectiveness, and this is a self-evaluation thing, there is no way that I can determine whether you've lost your effectiveness because it's not my problem. Right? Which means I've got no commentary on the rest of you. I only have commentary on me. And I have to evaluate whether or not I'm being salt for God. Right? So it's up to us to identify whether we are still being salt or not. Right? If we've lost our effectiveness, we've got to determine that. With salt, if it's not salty, it will get thrown out. It will, right? In days of old in history, if the salt wasn't preserving, it's gone, burger. Gone. So I don't believe that Jesus is saying, if you're not standing as a Christian and being distinctive in this mixed up world, then he's going to toss you out. I don't believe that. Why? I believe he's saying we need to self-evaluate. Are we being effective for God? Do we stand out as one of God's children? Are we distinctive? Because if we aren't, let me tell you, the world will suck us in and spit us out and trample all over us. They will. And they do. The really important thing is that God's not about to throw us away. He loves us. He cares for us. He's provided Jesus in the way of salvation to give us new life. He is not about to take a mildly salty Christian and dispense with them. That's not what his word says. He wants us to self-reflect and become stronger and more powerful, and we get that as we look at the light and we cover the aspects of light. So, the really cool thing is that as a member of God's family who stands for him, you have full access to what? The Holy Spirit, yes, great. The who? His word. What about this? The armor of God. Great. Great. And the armor of? The armor of light. Isn't God good? So that's what being salt is all about. So the question that I have to ask is, Lord, am I being salt for you? Am I being salty? Am I an irritant to some of the things that are going on in the world? And am I being effective for you? Now, personal testimony. In our house, my wife is all over what's going on in the community, particularly with ideologies and all the things that are going on, and she keeps her finger on the pulse on what's happening within the media and all of that. She's just outstanding at it. And so I get little bulletins through the day when I'm sitting down or having food and Lynn will share something with me. Predominantly, I've remained quite neutral over my life, and I don't while I'm good at writing, I've never felt I really wanted to get militant. Do you know what I mean? And start writing stuff. What did you say?
That surprises me.
Yeah. Yeah, God does amazing things, doesn't he? But I actually felt really challenged about that when I was preparing this. I think not losing our distinctiveness, I think, you know, we genuinely have to get more militant about some of the stuff that's going on. Because otherwise, we're just letting it happen. And so, Family First alerted me to something, and it was the first time I'd ever sat down and I wrote to Tangi Utakere, who happens to be our MP. And I did it politely and nicely, but I told him, you need to vote this way. Thank you. I just challenge you from the base of sitting on your couch, on your device, whatever it is. Now, it's not good enough. You need to get up and do something. Because our society is gradually being eroded by rubbish and garbage and stuff that's not honouring to God. And we need to get militant. Now, I know, I'm coming to understand the work of introverts, and I understand that. I'm getting there slowly as an extrovert, but I'm really sensitive to that. Irrespective of what our personality type is, we've got to stand up and be salt. We've got to stop the erosion. We've got to make the point to these people, legislators, government, regional councils, councillors, all of that. We've got to get militant. Then I had this thought. Who would I rate as being one of the best organisations for being salt in New Zealand? And I'm not promoting them. You know, you have your own points of view and I respect that. But I think, hands down, Family First New Zealand is one of the best salts in this country. They truly are. They started off as a charitable organisation, and then the government went them to take away their charitable status so that if you donated, you couldn't get 30%, 33% back. And they nailed them, and they won. They appealed, and they lost the appeal. And the government disliked them so much because they were the biggest irritation in their government life that they tried to annihilate them. And guess what? I don't know, I think it's cool. God, by his power, gave them more support and funding than they'd ever had in their lives before after all of that. And now they remain strong. But here's what they stand for. Listen to this. The key issues they're fighting for are family and marriage, freedom and rights, drugs and alcohol, gender, pro-life, end of life, schooling and education, media and content, and they're fighting against porn and sex. I reckon that's being salt. I respect your ability to disagree with me, but that's what I'm talking about. Get up, off the couch, off the devices, start reading, engaging, and let's make a difference for Jesus in our community. Right, light. What does light do? You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Light is meant to reveal, right? Someone said it. Uncover what is hidden in the darkness. Light provides direction and it guides, as well as shining brightly, pushing back darkness. Our light should be seen by our neighbours, our workmates, and all those that we interact with each day. They should know that we love Jesus, right? Yeah? For a large part of my adult Christian life, I was a very dim light for Jesus. That's why Jeff's illustration about the battery quite resonated with me this morning. I was living the Christian life. I was actively involved in the local church, but I was not a bright light. And it wasn't until in the fullness of God opening my eyes to the power of the Holy Spirit and helped me realize that I was not sold out to the Holy Spirit, that my life became a much brighter light for Jesus. And I think that's important, that part of the self-reflection for all of us this morning is, how bright is my light for Jesus right now? And I can't comment on you, that's why I can only illustrate it from my life. But I believe that with God's help, my light is getting brighter all the time. I'm more courageous than I was. I will take people on now if they speak against the name of God. I will take people on if they speak untruth. I will take people on if I believe God's word says something different. That was not the case when I was younger in my adult Christian life. So I'm not talking when I was a young adult. I'm talking when I was a married man with three children, lovely wife. My light was dim. And I just say to you all this morning, I pray with all my heart, and I believe God is saying this to us, that we would make sure that the bulb of light in our lives is as bright as it can be. Yes? Yes. What does it mean to be light? Jesus says he's the light of the world. As children of God, we should be the light of the world. Matthew 5:14. How can we do that? We can start by modeling what Jesus did. Jesus was truth, compassion. He had the Holy Spirit. He was the Holy Spirit. Always there, understanding, faithful, forgiving, patient, kind, holy, just, merciful, patient, sensitive, discerning, and wise. And I know that this may seem impossible, but it isn't. Collectively, we can all make a difference when it comes to being the light for others. After all, each one of us are children of God, made in his perfect image. Aren't we? Made in his perfect image. Being the light means doing your best to live each day on purpose and in a way that's pleasing to God. It means showing kindness and compassion to others and yourself. It's about looking for opportunities to be more like Jesus, to lift others up and to do the right thing, revealing what a personal relationship with Jesus looks like and guiding people to Jesus by how we live, our walk and what we say and what we do. Just ask you straight. Don't answer, but is that how your life looks this morning? Are you reflecting Jesus? Are people being drawn to Jesus as a result of the brightness of your light and the saltiness of your salt? Treat others as you want to be treated. Practice humility. I'm still in the judgmental seminar. I haven't got released from that yet. And the humility one's the next one on. And I don't know how I'm going to go with that because I still haven't got out of being judgmental. Give thanks even during life's challenges. Our light shines. Remember that God is always by your side. He can draw out of evil. He forgives your sins and loves you and all his children, all of us, completely. Even during the most challenging times, there are things to be thankful for. Have unwavering resolve. God expects us to be the light and empowers us to do so. Be firm and formidable in your resolve to follow the Lord in everything you do. Don't get distracted or waver in your beliefs and stay focused on God and his light. Our lives can lose their joy and sparkle when they become clouded by our sins and the sins of the world. Has sin dulled the signs of Christ within you? It does. It has in my life. That's part of why my light was dim for many, many years. It was the dullness of sin. Sin that I wasn't dealing with. If so, it's time to take the time to examine your life and ask God to illuminate things you may be unaware of. He'll get you back on the right path if you ask for help and his forgiveness. Let's face it, as humans and Christians, we're not perfect, but through prayer, we can address where we've gone wrong and get back to living the amazing life he's planned for us. To be the light of the world is to bring hope, truth, and positive moral guidance to a world often perceived as spiritually or morally dark. The phrase originates from a famous teaching of Jesus in the Bible, but it carries a broad meaning that extends into everyday life. We are the salt and the light to this dark world. So, three honest questions. Are we different? Does our life still taste of Christ in a world without flavour? Are we visible, or has our witness been quietly tucked away under a basket? Are we faithful? Day by day, in small things, do we serve the way Jesus would? And here's the self-examination, the self-reflection part. How salty is your salt? Salty Christians make people thirst to know Jesus. Yep. Salty Christians make people thirst to know Jesus. How bright is your light? Bright Christians make people want to come out of darkness. There's a lot of darkness out there. And importantly, who gets the glory? Do you give the glory to God for how he sustains you and gives you all that you have? So the question is, how salty is your salt? Is your life marked by spiritual distinctiveness, or has your witness been diluted? How bright is your light? Is the character of Jesus visible in the way you live, speak, serve, and love? And who gets the glory? When people look at your life, do they see merely a decent person, or do they catch a glimpse of the goodness of God? I really want to be like that. It's a process. So for your thinking this week, I'm just going to humbly suggest that you return to Christ, all of us, that we begin again at the source of salt and light. We start with Christ as being the head and the director of our lives, with the indwelling power of his Holy Spirit. I think we need to be living distinctively and becoming more active in fighting against the things of the world. Having a life that's set apart for God in a very tasteless world. And we need to let our light shine. So we need to step out from under the basket that's been dimming our light. Or because we've been quieter and more reserved, we need to step out from under the basket and do that today. So, I really believe that it's important to respond to God's word and the power of his Holy Spirit. And so, I'm just going to hand back to Jack in a second and close in prayer. But what I really want to say to all of us is that if there's any aspect of what God's saying from Matthew 5:13-16 to you this morning, and there's something not happening in your life that really needs to, I'm encouraging you to deal with that this morning. Don't go home. Don't think about it. Deal with it this morning. Get it out in front of the Lord and let the Holy Spirit wash through your soul and your life and ask him to just empower you and help you to be saltier salt and a brighter light and give him the glory. And in doing that, I'm going to do something different this morning. I'm going to go to the back And if there's anyone here this morning that wants to deal with this stuff in your life, I'm going to be at the back. I'm trying to make it easier so that you don't feel like you're being a spectacle coming to the front. But if you want to deal with that, please come to the back where I'll be sitting when I get down after I've closed in prayer. Now, the other part of this is, when I spoke on the armour of light some months back, I said really clearly that we are running out of time. And if you are in a situation where you don't know Jesus yet, and the Holy Spirit is convicting you, and your heart is pumping fast, you are being called to respond to God's message about being salt and about being light and changing your life and coming out of darkness. And if you want to do that this morning, I'm going to be at the back. And it would be my privilege to talk with you and share with you how to come into a personal relationship with Jesus. Back then, we were running out of time. Now, here on the 14th of June 2026, there's even less time before God returns. So you are clearly running out of time. I plead with you to deal with these things this morning and do not just sit and let it all go. The failure that we have as Kiwis is we think it will be okay. It won't be. To live in a life that's not salty and that's not bright has got to be one of the most saddest states that we can be if we own the name of Jesus. And if we don't know Jesus in a personal way, then this morning I'm calling to you from the Word of God, it is time to put your faith and trust in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the power of your Spirit in this passage. Thank you for the challenge that you've given to us to be salt and light to a very sad and tasteless world. Strengthen us, I pray. Help us all to self-reflect and to see in our own hearts before you where we sit in terms of the saltiness and the brightness of our light. Heavenly Father, in all of this, and in all that you have placed in your word that we've considered this morning, we give all the glory to you. We pray that your people will think about this very, very seriously and will look to own your name. If there is anyone here that does not know you, that we can point them to the way of salvation. Lord, go with us now as we continue to worship and praise your mighty name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.